Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome to Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben in Greenville, South Carolina. So happy you've joined us this morning on the ninth week of broadcasting here on the Tyranny Response Network. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. It's the talk show radio that's designed to help you think better. Our goal here at the Tyranny Response Network, and especially at Christian Worldview, is to help Christians think better. The fact is that Christians today are often, for lack of a better word, gullible. They're willing to follow after any Pied Piper that the Republican Party sends their way, or other Pied Pipers that promise them the world and deliver absolutely nothing, or deliver even the opposite of what they were hoping for. Here at the Tyranny Response Network, we're in business, so to speak, to try to change all that. We enjoy liberty. We appreciate the founding fathers. They're the ideals of liberty that were in the great founders' minds as they developed this great nation of America. And we're so happy again that you've joined us to be able to participate in a new era of thinking. The phone number here at the station, if you'd like to call in this morning, is 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. You can also send your comments or questions by email 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. Well, yesterday was such an exciting show because we talked about public schooling again, or the government school, that is, the Government Indoctrination Center once again. We were glad to be able to do that. As we always are here on the Tyranny Response Network, we're trying to oppose tyranny in every form, and there is nothing that has been more tyrannical to the American way of life than the public school system in its support of environmentalism, the radical crazy ideas that come forth from that school, including deep ecology and worship of Mother Gaia, as well as other issues including alternative lifestyles. The homosexual movement is rampantly trying to take over the public school and use it to its benefit, and it is succeeding in large measure. People largely now believe that these alternative lifestyles are okay who go through public schools. We're also concerned that the public school erodes liberty. In fact, there was a survey we read here on the show just a week or so ago where a high school student surveyed at public schools decided that the First Amendment gave them too many rights, and people should not have these many rights. In fact, we should give them back to the government. The large majority of people surveyed, young people, believed this after they'd been trained at the Government Indoctrination Center. We also oppose the public school because it is indeed a pagan seminary, as Bruce Short calls it. You can go there and learn about Islam. You can go there and learn about African religions. You can learn about all sorts of weird religious values, including, not to mention, atheism and agnosticism. It is an evil place that promotes evil things. Not to mention, again, other things socially, such as Darwinism or socialism. All of these things emanate from the public school, and I have been so delighted every day. I can't wait to my wife and I actually stay up late at night and like to read aloud Bruce Short's new book, The Harsh Truth About Public Schools. This is a great book, folks. You need to get it in your hands if you haven't got it already. It's published by the Chalcedon Foundation, and he's a Southern Baptist fellow who attended both Harvard and Stanford. He was a public school casualty, as was the Tyranny Response Unit. Somehow, by the grace of God, rose above that, and then went to all places, Harvard and Stanford, rose above that, and is now a Southern Baptist. Boy, he's got it all the deck stacked against him. As a Southern Baptist, has risen against the tide in that church to become apostate, and has become one of the greatest spokesmen I've ever seen for private schooling and especially homeschooling in our modern day. He has done the work, folks. We're talking about hundreds of pages of endnotes footnotes that or endnotes actually that that document everything he says in this book about what is going on in public schools. One of the best parts of the second chapter is pointing out all the high class areas like Chantilly, Virginia. There's parts of Metro Detroit, which are where all the wealthier kids go, that these public schools are not immune from the evils that go on. In fact, they may foment it more than the inner city or more impoverished public schools. So don't think just because, oh, we're in South Carolina, it'll never happen here. Folks, it will happen here because the institution of the public school is designed for that end, to promote injustice, anti-liberty, anti-Christian thinking, and it's doing its job. It's just maybe a little more clandestine here, incognito perhaps, and it will arise and stick up its ugly head eventually. We already know that public school students here have imbibed lots of Earth Day, deep ecology kind of thinking, even here in South Carolina. We know they're learning about Darwinism and socialism here in the public school, and it's not going to get any better. It's only going to get worse, folks. If you read Bruce Short's books, you're going to be convinced, and you're going to do the right thing, I hope, by after you get this book. Pull your kids out of the public school. Don't work for the institution. Let's level it to the ground, do whatever we can, and work against this as our great enemy in this world. I'd also encourage you to pick up a copy of the book of From the Tyranny Response Unit. That's me, Dr. John Coben. Pick up that book called Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. Use it as a companion volume, a more theory volume, because Chapter 6 deals with the public school, the Government Indoctrination Center, and my critique of it. I would encourage you to get both books. The latter book is available on our website, policyofliberty.net, and we hope you'll go there and visit policyofliberty.net for all the great features it does have, and pick up a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. Bruce Short's book, The Harsh Truth About Public Schools, is on available online through Amazon. At least that's where I got my copy. You can also find at lewrockwell.com Dr. Stephen Yates, a professor here in the upstate of South Carolina, philosophy professor, a Christian libertarian, wrote a great book review about Bruce Short's book, and he did such an excellent job showing or just describing not only Short's perspective, Dr. Short's perspective, but also adding his own insights from a Christian worldview on why there are problems with public education. Well, folks, we have a few articles actually related to public education today. We want to discuss those things, if possible. One came in from a listener who wrote in that the Associated Press shows that governors are working to improve high school education. This article says the nation's governors offered an alarming account to the American high school Saturday, saying only drastic change will keep millions of students from falling short. We can't keep explaining to our nation's parents or business leaders or college faculties why these kids can't do the work, said Virginia Democratic Governor Warner. As the state leaders convened for the first National Education Summit aimed at rallying governors around high school reform, the governor said they want to emerge Sunday with specific plans for enacting policy. Weary of statistics showing that too many students are coasting, dropping out, or failing in college. By the way, only 53% of people who attend South Carolina public schools graduate. We have the worst graduation rate in the nation. In fact, we could look at it the other way. It might be the best graduation rate in the nation, because it's probably better that they don't go at all than actually show up to the place. Anyway, that's just a little bit of counterintuitive logic. You hear it here on the Tyranny Response Network. Christian Worldview, remember, is a show for thinking people. At least one agreement is likely. Achieve, a nonprofit group formed by governors and corporate leaders, plans to announce Sunday that roughly 12 states are committing to raise high school rigor and align their graduation requirements with skills demanded in college or work. Think about that, folks. You might actually have to scale back on a class on condom use or something if you actually wanted to teach them something. Tough thing. That'd be require somebody their jobs. Maybe we'll get the NEA involved here to preserve that professor's job. Or maybe the homosexual activism class will have to be cut. Oh, well, too bad. But it won't happen, folks. Sorry. Anyway, the high school summit drew at least 45 governors from the 50 states and five U.S. territories, along with top names in the U.S. industry and education. The leaders broke into groups late in the day to debate ideas and plan to do the same thing through Sunday. 68, he says here, of every 100 ninth graders, only 68 graduate high school on time, and only 18 make it through college on time, according to National Center for Public Policy and Higher Education. Just skipping through a couple other spots, the highlights from the article. Microsoft chief Bill Gates, who has put more than $700 million into reducing the size of high school classes through the foundation formed by him and his wife, Melinda, he said high schools must be redesigned to prepare every student for college with the classes that are rigorous and relevant to kids with supportive relationships and children. America's high schools are obsolete, Gates said. By obsolete, I don't mean they are broken, flawed, or underfunded. Oh, Mr. Bill Gates, what's wrong with you? Anyway, well, you're rich. I guess you must be doing something right. Anyway, richer than I am, that's for sure. Through a case that could be made for every one of these points, but obsolete, by obsolete I mean our high schools, even when they're working as designed, cannot teach all our students what they need to know today. Well, what do they need to know, Mr. Gates? I don't have necessarily any sympathy for your position on certain issues. In fact, I have some doubts and questions about things that you support and do. At any rate, interesting talk today. If you have some questions or comments about the public school, once again, or the government school, it's a hot topic this week because we had the debate at the Americans for Constitutional Government on Monday, which featured yours truly, the Tyranny Response Unit, opposing the Put Parents in Charge bill. And according to the popular vote of the, what we understand from the audience, they did think that Mr. Ben Graydon and Julia Kosak and I certainly cleaned up and convincing people that the PPIC bill should be opposed by true conservatives and libertarians. Anyway, we'll have more talk about this when we come back from a quick break. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on the Tyranny Response Network.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPROS, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPROS.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
In Common Sense, Thomas Paine writes, "Could we take off the dark covering of antiquity pertaining to the origin of kings and of the state and trace them to their first rise, we should find the first of them nothing better than the principal ruffian of some restless gang, whose savage manners or preeminence subtly obtained him the title of chief among plunderers, and who by increasing in power and extending his depredations overawed the quiet and defenseless to purchase their safety by frequent contributions."
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben. Having an exciting morning. I always get revved up and excited, enthusiastic when I'm talking about the government indoctrination program. You know, folks, I detest things like the Internal Revenue Service and its policies, the Federal Reserve System. These are heinous evils that plague the United States of America. But there's nothing that plagues it more than the government school. I'm sorry if you work there, you got a friend there, or you had the grave misfortune of putting one of your children there. The fact of the matter is, folks, this institution is deadly. It is lethal. It has caused us more grief, sorrow, and loss of liberty than anything else that we face in America, I believe. And again, that's not taking away anything from the evil and wickedness done by the Internal Revenue Service or the Federal Reserve or any number of other regulatory bodies we might name, but the public school has taken control of the minds of children and completely twisted them from the ideals that were envisioned by the founders or that we find in the scriptures. I just wanted to read a passage real quickly from Bruce Short's book. I could read this whole book and you'd be entertained if I read it live on the air. It is just a fabulous book, chock full of research. He's done such an excellent job. Short says this: consider this. If a child is convinced that all morality is relative, what is the likely effect of the message given by educators and curricula that the moral instruction of his parents and church would be disregarded? What is the likely impact on such a child when educators and the curricula are giving him extraordinarily explicit information on sex and telling him there is nothing wrong with premarital sex? What is the likely effect on such a child when educators and the curricula are providing highly detailed information on drugs and asking him to produce reasons for and against drug use so that he can do his own informal cost-benefit analysis on drug use? What is the likely effect on such a child when educators tell him directly or indirectly that it's okay to lie to his parents or mislead them? What difference do you think that it makes to a Christian child to be in a government school receiving these messages while under the instruction of, quote, educators, unquote, who are willing to convey these messages and while under the control of an institution that virtually treats Christianity as a deadly bacillus? Do you think that an elementary school child or a confused adolescent is likely to be influenced to accept some or all of the values of the culture of government schools by peer pressure and that by the government school's institutional authority? Do you think that the moral decline that we have witnessed among children or in society generally over the last 40 years is a cosmic accident? Or do you think it might be in substantial measure be an expression of the values that government school educators and curricula have been programming into children? Do you really think that your child's government school is different? Just thought I'd ask, says Short. That's a pretty damning statement of the public school, I'll have to admit. I mean, this is what they learn, folks, when people go to public schools. The Government Indoctrination Center. They learn this stuff. This is how their worldview is changed. And don't tell me, oh, when they come home, Dr. Coben, it's not a problem because we quiz them. We sit them down for 30 minutes and ask for a review of everything they were taught that day, and then we unprogram them. How is a kid possibly going to remember everything that he learned in a day? And furthermore, all the nuances, all the behavior that he witnessed with his eyes, how can you undo that? How can he possibly know what might be foul in order to tell you what was foul so that you could correct it? Do you sit down and expect your 10-year-old to know all there is to know about philosophy, too, and economics? I don't think so. These guys are young people. They're children. They are folks that can be easily manipulated by even people who have the credentials that those in public schools have. And they have been manipulated. Don't believe the lie, folks, that you can sit down with your children and unbrainwash them, turn them back the right way. It just doesn't work. The deck is stacked against you, so to speak, and you will lose that battle. 88% of all children coming from Christian households reject the faith after going through the government indoctrination program. 88%. How can you argue with that number? You send your kids to the school, and I'm not denying God's providence or election and all these things. I'm talking about parental responsibility. You send your kids through one of these wicked pagan seminaries, and they're going to leave the faith. They're going to leave off of believing and cherishing liberty as you might hold and cherish liberty. They are going to run away and do something entirely different. That's the cold hard facts, folks. I hope you'll keep it in mind. And if you've got your children in a public school, get them out of there. Don't believe the myths or lies about it being different here in South Carolina or anywhere in the South. Get them out and don't go to work for the place. If you work for a public school, it's like working for an abortion clinic as a secretary. You have no business being there as a Christian. You have no business being working as a doorman for a brothel. You have no business working as a cameraman for a pornography firm. I mean, there's just no way that you can be involved with this institution and be pure and clean. We've already run up to another break, and we'll be right back on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
The law of non-contradiction. The same thing cannot at the same time both belong and not belong to the same object and in the same respect. Aristotle.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to the show as we try to hurl liberalism with great force and smash it. Because liberalism is winning the day, despite the fact that you elected George W. Bush. Who do you suppose George W. Bush is? Do you think he's really the vicar of Christ in the world in any sense of bringing in the kingdom of God or supporting Christian values? How gullible have Christians been? How sinning have they been when they voted for this man who hasn't done a thing to really stop an abortion in this country, this man who hasn't done a thing to shrink the size of government, and this man who wages insane wars in other lands. This guy is a lunatic. He gives lip service to Christians. I'm sorry, I'm using strong language here, but I don't know how else to shake you out of it, folks. If you voted for George Bush, you made a big mistake. John Kerry might have been worse a little bit, but not much. You're talking about an egregious problem having this man run the country and run these wars, these phony wars, including the drug war and running all these anti-terror programs in here in the United States that violate your rights. George W. Bush was not the man of the hour for the Christian church and Christians to rally behind, but he used the right words to make you think that he was the right person to vote for. Now you got what you got, folks. You're beginning to see it. You're getting to see what Gonzalez is doing and the other members of his cabinet, and they'll continue to thwart the ways of truth and righteousness and liberty in this land, as I predicted before the election and as we're seeing now. It's only going to get worse gradually, little by little, under the Bush administration. At any rate, Oklahoma students are lobbying for a PE bill. Our research staff found this morning on the net. Oklahoma City fifth graders appeared before a state house committee Monday to lobby for passage of legislation that would create a voluntary statewide physical fitness program. Physical education classes are not required in Oklahoma schools. The Oklahoma Kids Fitness Challenge Act is patterned after a program developed at Bridge Creek Elementary School that encourages fifth graders to pursue a healthy lifestyle and at the same time teaches them about Oklahoma. So interesting that that we're having a shift there from focusing on the reading, writing, arithmetic a little bit to focus on this as far as the students are concerned. May not be a bad idea. I'd rather see them doing PE all day than being indoctrinated. The bill's author, Representative Susan Winchester, said the measure requires the Department of Education to create an optional Walk Across Oklahoma program with funding for pedometers and access to curriculum for teachers and school districts that participate. So We've got a greater government program. The bill, House Bill 1647, passed unanimously and was sent to the full House for action. So we have the public school coming through again in our lineup here of things this morning. Want to mention to you some of the information about Lewis R. Vaughn. He is Greenville County District 18 representative to the state legislature. This man's email address is hom@scstatehouse.net, hom@scstatehouse.net. We want to make sure that all of you have an opportunity to write this man and talk to him about the Put Parents in Charge Act. Remember, this was the gentleman who was was in favor of Put Parents in Charge in the debate against yours truly, the Tyranny Response Unit, on Monday. And he was handed, after the debate, by me personally, not only a couple of advertisement cards about the Tyranny Response Network, and we hope that he's listening this morning, may well be, and a couple of articles that I'd written with an alternative that would truly promote freedom and truly reduce taxes for people and free homeschoolers and private schoolers from the shackles that would be imposed on it as the camel's nose went under the tent and indeed regulations started coming in from the state over private and homeschooling. Well, at any rate, we need to encourage this man, Representative Vaughn, to change the PPIC to reflect more of Dr. Coben's suggested principles. And he has those in his hand, and we can simply write to him at his email address, hom@scstatehouse.net, and tell him that you are looking forward to seeing him make some of those changes. We don't want to be supporting a bill that promotes socialism, promotes our social enemy, the public school, and that simply is not only redistributive, but lying and telling us that we are going to have more control by this bill where we already have control, and all we're going to do is end up losing control because they're going to start regulating us. You can also try a couple of phone numbers for him, 864 area code 848-0368. That's 864-848-0368. You can also try the home number, 864-848-0368. That's also the home number. And another business address might be 803. This is the Columbia phone number, not address, Columbia phone number. 803-734-3141. That's 803-734-3141. We also wanted to mention, before we move on to bigger and better things, I mentioned the columns that I write, and they appear every week in a great newspaper called the Times Examiner. Folks, if you don't already get the Times Examiner mailed to you every week, the price is only $20 a year, and you need to get this in your hands. The Times Examiner has columns from Dr. Walter Williams, Dr. Thomas Sowell, Joseph Sobrand, Charlie Reese, Phyllis Schlafly, yours truly, the Tyranny Response Unit, and others, local stars such as Ben Graydon, who continually write in there about the truths and that have made America great, about our freedoms, about our values, Southern heritage values, Christian values, libertarian values, constitutional values. All of these things are represented in the Times Examiner. I would encourage you to take it on a weekly basis. $20 a year to have something mailed to you every week, that's a real bargain. If you're out of state, I think it's $22. The price goes up by $5 on April 1st, so be sure to call today, 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. You can talk to either Bob Dill or Laverl there, and they'll put you on the mailing list. That's 864-268-0576. The Times Examiner can be picked up in person at a number of newsstands around Greenville, South Carolina, or you can stop by 44 Pine Knoll Drive and pick up a copy there. That's 44 Pine Knoll Drive in Greenville, South Carolina. Once again, the phone number, 864-268-0576. Well, we have a couple of other things we want to shift over to this morning, folks, a couple of other interesting topics. And at the top of the hour, we're going to go ahead and make a move towards some different subjects besides the public school. But when we would encourage you to call in and send your questions. If you want to talk about the public school, we'll be happy to shift gears back to that. And again, our phone number here at the show, 864-201-6955. You're listening, of course, to the Tyranny Response Network. What other network on the face of the planet is there like the Tyranny Response Network? And specifically, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but He has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as He did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastiat.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we do welcome you back into Christian Worldview. The weather this morning is very chilly outside, 26 degrees, and we're going to rise up all the way to 50 degrees today. Wow, it's really going to be warm here on this March 2nd in Greenville, South Carolina. Clear skies, high of 50 today, even though it's only a chilly 26 right now. So dress warmly if you're just about to leave the house. It's going to be a cool day for us. We had a couple of emails come in. We want to get right to those. Juliet, who actually joined me on the debate team the other day, has written in a very interesting email regarding the 10th commandment. She says, John, in response to your thoughts on the 10th commandment, God did not write one useless word in the Bible, nor did he give one useless commandment, if not enforced by law. It is very necessary to each Christian to be concerned about obeying this commandment. As regards the breaking of the law about slaves, I do not believe in selective compliance to the law. There are ways of working within the system to fight against those laws that are wrong. Only if we are called to violate our faith are we free to violate the law. Otherwise, we are no better than a democracy where a mob rules. You have an excellent program, Juliet. Well, I appreciate both of those comments, Juliet, those questions, and let me try to deal with both of them in succession. The first one regarding the 10th commandment, I think is very important to mention here that in this show we did not say that Christians should not keep the 10th commandment, that it was important for Christians to obey the prohibition against covetousness. The question before that was brought up on the show is whether or not the state, the government, shouldn't have a covetousness police or a covetous police, I guess you could say, the police being covetous and promoting laws against or enforcing laws against covetousness. At any rate, we want to talk about whether government has a role in doing this. I argue that they do not. Other people, such I believe it was might have been Greg who emailed yesterday and said, "Well, look, can't we retranslate the word covenant or covetousness to mean defraud? So you shall not covet your neighbor's, animals or his wife. Well, you shouldn't defraud your neighbor's animals or his wife." Well, there is apparently some way that it is translated as defraud in the New Testament passage that Greg quoted and put forth. My argument was simply that it seems like the Apostle Paul and Christ both used the commandments in a very specific way to mean that commandment in a specific way to mean covetousness as we would normally use it. For instance, when Christ talked to the rich young ruler, he said, "Look, this is what you need to do if you want to inherit eternal life." And he quoted him the fourth through the ninth commandments. Then instead of quoting the tenth commandment, he said to the rich young ruler, "Well, look, if you've done all these things, that's fine. But now I want you to go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And then you can be my disciple. Come and follow after me." And the response in this particular situation was rather an application of the 10th commandment of not to covet. That's why I give all your stuff to the poor and so forth. So Christ looked at it not as defrauding in the sense of the 8th commandment, but I think as covetousness in the 10th commandment as we commonly think of it. Also, the Apostle Paul said, remember, that he really didn't know sin. He didn't realize he was a sinner until he read in the law, "You shall not covet." And the sin was revived when the law came up into his heart, and he realized he had to go to Christ. So it was his own interest in covet, in avoiding covetousness, that drove him to Christ, and seeing that he was a sinner and in needing of a Savior, so that he had to get rid of the Pharisaical shackles. So it's very clear that we must obey the 10th commandment. The 10th commandment is important in our lives. Of course, we may fail and not keep the 10th commandment, but that's why we have a great Savior, Jesus Christ, who through his blood and his work and life of obedience has provided for us redemption. So no one has said that we should not obey the 10th commandment here on the show, although I appreciate you bringing it up. We're talking about whether or not there should be a police squad that investigates the motives and intentions of people's hearts. And I say no. I don't think there should be in any way, shape, or form government program or money spent on trying to coerce or compel or find out about people's inward motivations, feelings, interests, and so forth. Because not only is it a big waste of money, but I don't think it's the proper role of the state. Remember on the show, we've talked about this, Juliet. There are actually four great Christian views regarding public policy, and those four views fall into two different schools of thought. One is the competing kingdom school, and the other is the integrated authority school. The integrated authority school believes that the state can be transformed by the gospel or transformed by the work of the kingdom of God in one way or another, and therefore the state can actually be useful in promoting the kingdom of God in this world. The competing kingdom school would say, no, it's not possible for the state to ever enforce righteousness or good things such as the law of God in the world, because the state is part and parcel of the kingdom of Satan, not only satanic in its origin, but satanic in its influence, and is used and controlled by God, certainly, to bring judgment on people and accomplish his purposes. But in general, the thing is a satanic institution that we cannot expect any good to come from. Now, both of those particular points of view can be supported in the scriptures, and good men who are Christians on both sides have brought up arguments on both, to support either position. In my particular point of view, which is the competing kingdom school's view, the state cannot be relied on to resolve social issues or bring the law of God and morality in the land. It needs to be completely avoided. Hope that helps, and I hope you'll follow up if you have a different perspective with another question by email or a comment live to the show. With regard to this business about the slave law, you're basically saying you can't have selective compliance to the law. You have to work within the system, and then if you're called to violate a principle or article of faith, you're free to violate the law. Okay, well, that's a fine point of view, and it's a common point of view, but here's the objection, the critique I would have of that. Is there an objective standard where all Christians can follow by, can go by, or would you say that this man who was helping with the Underground Railroad was doing okay because his own conscience told him it was a violation of his faith, and therefore he could go ahead and violate the law and help the slaves escape? But another Christian might not have that conviction, especially if he were living in the South, for instance, and he might say it's wrong to violate that law, and therefore he couldn't. So has it just become arbitrary, or maybe even capricious across Christians, or is there a clear bright white line somewhere that says, no, this is sin and this is not? You see, I don't think you're going to get to that point objectively if you have this kind of statement: only if we are called to violate our faith are we free to violate the law, because everybody's going to have a different understanding of what that is. Now, to their credit, the Christian Reconstruction movement has basically said, look, if it's not in the Old Testament, if you can't find it there, then you can violate it. And that's a pretty clear, bright line. The same is true of the liberty of conscience perspective, which basically says, in its purer form at any rate, that all legislation by government can be violated so long as we don't bring dishonor to the church, dishonor to God. We have to bring God glory at all times. And we have only a pragmatic submission, an expedient submission before these wicked rulers. And therefore, everything is out there and available to be violated, not just things that specifically violate the faith, or cause us to not put our kids in church, or force them to go to public school, things like that, or abort the children. So those are two views that are consistent. Your view, Juliet, to me, is somewhere in the middle, that is in an inconsistent plane that's going to end up allowing people to just be willy-nilly. Well, I don't think it violates my faith. Well, I think it does. And so everybody does what they think they want to do, and there really isn't any objective standard. Well, that was a bit of a long-winded answer. In fact, I hope you appreciate the aspect of the thinking part. I hope you're thinking better about these tough issues this morning. We've run up against another break, however, on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know, that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's npros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
In Common Sense, Thomas Paine writes, "Could we take off the dark covering of antiquity pertaining to the origin of kings and of the state, and trace them to their first rise, we should find the first of them nothing better than the principal ruffian of some restless gang, whose savage manners or preeminence subtly obtained him the title of chief among plunderers, and who, by increasing in power and extending his depredations, overawed the quiet and defenseless to purchase their safety by frequent contributions."
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview, and during the break we had received a phone call from Juliet, the one we were just talking about, and reading her her excellent question and comment to the show. And we'd like to welcome you to the program this morning, Juliet. You're on the air.
Good morning, John. Let me just briefly elaborate on my comment about violating our faith. I mean specifically to to deny the Christ and God and His Word. For example, Justice Judge Roy Moore was called upon by the state to violate the oath of office that he took to acknowledge God with the Ten Commandments. So this is the kind of thing I'm talking about. I'm not talking about issues that exist in society like slavery. I'm talking specifically where we're called to violate our oath before God. But what I really wanted to call about today, John, is
Before you go on, let me just ask a question. Now, there was a Fugitive Slave Act. In other words, it was the law of the land in the 1850s, 1860s, early 1860s, at any rate, that if a slave escaped, you had a duty to return him to his master. And those who ran the Underground Railroad said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to violate the law. So would you say the Fugitive Slave Act violated your faith? Would you agree that that was a time where you could actually rebel against the state?
No. I don't believe you could rebel against the state in a case like that.
So you would obey and return the slave back to their masters?
Yes, I would.
Well, that's an
I happen to not believe in the civil rights law that took away the state's rights with that law. That was an unconstitutional law. What it did was to say that man is not capable in his heart of treating the slave as he would his, you know, as the Lord says, to love your brother.
Mm-hmm.
That law said that the individual citizen out there isn't capable in his heart of being good, kind, and considerate as God directs us to in His Word. That actually denied the commandment of God to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And that law has resulted in the loss of freedom of a man to hire whom he will, to fire whom he will, to what person he will rent an apartment to. The loss of freedom as a result of that civil rights law to man throughout this country is just tremendous.
Well, okay, I agree with you about the Civil Rights Act and those rules. Now, let's go a step further then. Would you feel that it's okay or believe that it's okay for a Christian to violate the edicts laid down in the Civil Rights Act?
No, I don't. Once you have a law on the books, God has said in His Word, and I know you have a different understanding, John, God has said in His Word, let every man be subject to the higher power. Even if he does evil to you, you obey for the glory of God. You don't. It's like Luther. This is where I stand. So help me, I cannot recant. You know, God has said, as far as I'm concerned, until the law required you to deny God and your faith, you must be obedient to the law. That's my understanding of Scripture.
Well, this is a very we appreciate the call on this one, because this is an interesting point. This is the divine right, what I call the revitalized divine right of King's point of view, that the state becomes essentially the oracle of God, that for believers, as soon as something's encoded or put into law or legislated, you have to obey it.
I believe that, John, is because God, in His sovereign rule over the universe, has set up evil rulers over people throughout history. For whatever God's reason is,
mm-hmm.
It is God who has set up rulers. I believe that it is God who set up Clinton as our president to give the people a visible picture of what sin does in the life, and to be able to have, as He did with the law, God gave the law that we would know sin. Well, He gives rulers to either punish the people for their own sin. I mean, we have a nation who denies God's existence now, mm-hmm. in this country.
Yep.
The majority of the people don't even want to believe that God exists. So God will give them a ruler, just as back in the time of Samuel.
Okay, wait, now let me go back. This is very interesting. Let me take you back even a step further. At the time of the American War for Independence, the so-called American Revolution. You're sitting there in Boston, and you're about to have a tea party. It's clear that the law says you cannot destroy private property. Throwing the tea into the sea would be wrong. You can't, there is a tax law on the books that says you have to pay it. Were they in sin by rebelling against England?
I believe they had the right to throw the tea in the river. That's within the law.
The law said they should. The law said they could throw the tea.
The law protest the despotism of government.
Now wait a minute. We're not talking about despotism. We're talking about active disobedience. These people took private property owned by the East India Company and they threw it into the sea. They disobeyed and shot at, attacked the civil government. They said, we're not going to have you rule over us. We are going to be free of you. We're going to unshackle ourselves and we're going to disobey. What you're saying, if you're consistent with your view, is that the American Revolution or the War for Independence was wrong because we sinned. We weren't content under what God gave us for a government.
No, I think that the law exerted, I haven't thought this thing through, John. And
I know, most people in the divine right position have not.
But what I do believe is that the rule of England over the people who left England and set up their own, for example, the Mayflower Act, set up their own constitution governing them from the day that they set foot on this land, I think that they had a right to, with that compact, that constitution, I think they had a right to take a stand against the overbearing rule of England. But I really want to get to the schools, John.
I'll tell you what, we're going to come to a break. Just hold on through the break and you'll be right back. This is
okay.
An interesting question. I want you to think about this some more, and we'll talk about it some more at another time, perhaps. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're taking a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
Okay, thank you. Oh, hi, Nelson. Oh, wonderful to hear you. Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Of non-contradiction. The same thing cannot at the same time both belong and not belong to the same object and in the same respect. Aristotle.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben. That's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview Today. We are having a very interesting discussion this morning with Juliet, who's called in to talk about not only the Christian's response to public policy in a very insightful way, and we're having a great discussion about that, but Juliet also wanted to talk about public schools. And, of course, Juliet and I, as along with Ben Graydon, were on the right side, the true right side, on Monday morning, debating against those neoconservatives who decided to come in with their sheep's clothing on, basically. and talk about this PPIC event as if it was innocuous and be helpful for all of us to get behind. We, I think, did a great job, and maybe Juliet will comment on this, in just showing folks exactly why they should not be supporting this bill. And Juliet, we welcome you again back to the show. And go ahead and with your question about public schooling.
Okay, thank you, John. I did not hear the first part of your program this morning, but what I wanted to say about one of the discoveries at this seminar that we had on the question of put parents in charge, Representative Vaughn acknowledged 2 points. Representative Vaughn acknowledged that there was a major organization and a great deal of money that was behind this push to put parents in charge, which is a misnomer because parents are already in charge.
Hmm.
But he acknowledged that a great deal of this was coming from outside of the state. And in my way of thinking, somebody has an agenda to get this thing passed in this state. And we already know it's been recognized as the model system to move across the country and have it enacted, have a similar bill enacted across the country. But the other thing is that that afternoon, Ralph Bristol had the prime sponsor of this bill, Doug Smith from Spartanburg, and another representative, Scott Talley, both of whom essentially promote the bill. And Doug Smith, when Ralph asked him, how will this affect the Christian schools, he said that anyone, this was over the air, this was Monday, the 28th, and you can verify this with Doug Smith or with Scott Talley, representatives. They stated that anybody who takes this tax credit is subject to the federal regulations. Now, the federal regulations are safety, are health, safety, civil rights, disabilities, and you have to, when you have that knowledge, you have to add to that the knowledge that under President Bush, there is now, and under his baby, No Child Left Behind, there is now enacted into law a mandatory mental health screening program that will subject every child and their parent to psychoanalysis and to determine if their attitudes are acceptable in the subjects of, for example, hiring a homosexual, accepting homosexual students into the school system. So this thing is fraught with danger, and the parents who are laboring over this question need to inform themselves. They need to read these bills. You have under Bill 3012, you have the civil rights, you have the federal regulations spelled out for you. Under 3652 and 3024, you have all of those regulations, plus you have the language written into the bills that the students in the independent schools as well as public schools will be evaluated over a 12-year period using, listen to this, John, using analytical behavioral science methodologies to determine what
sounds sophisticated
has been produced by that student.
Yeah, this is very well put, Juliet. I appreciate very much you mentioning all of these things, and we were so good at the debate of having all these pieces of data ready to these little bullets or cartridges ready to fire out against these neocons who were trying to thrust this bill upon us.
Well,
it's a very dangerous bill.
My concern is that we ask the question, what would God have us to do? Now, God has, as you have so well expressed, God gave us the responsibility for the education of our children. Now, to put on the yoke of a government program is to deny God obedience to taking on the education of your children.
Amen.
And don't sell your birthright for a mess of pottage, which is what you will do if you become a part of a government program. You're in charge now. You will not be in charge if you take that tax credit.
It's very well put. I just kind of wonder what these folks think would think if they knew that the Tyranny Response Network was produced by a 14-year-old homeschool student on most days, learning things like broadcasting liberty and promoting the truth in this land, rather than learning all the other radical freak. They call it freaking. You heard of this freaking dancing that they do in public?
Yeah.
I mean, all sorts of perversion, all sorts of idiocy, recycling rules, global warming rules, earth worship rules, lining up as Buddhist monks, acting like Muslims, promoting Islam, promoting all these anti-Christian, anti-liberty things. Instead, we've got someone here who's been completely raised in home, never set foot one day in a classroom, homeschooled, and has time to come down and produce a show for liberty. I just wonder what they would think. I bet they're fuming if they're listening right now. Just thinking.
They have no answer, John.
Well,
they have no answer.
Well, I appreciate the phone call. I think we're coming up close to a break time, Juliet. We really appreciate the call. We hope you'll call back again soon. We always enjoy talking to you here on Christian Worldview. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but He has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as He did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastiat.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we do welcome you back into Christian Worldview. Another story sent to me by our esteemed research staff here at the Tyranny Response Unit, all volunteers, of course, all who love liberty and who do whatever they can to promote it here in this land. The story says is entitled, "The Confederate Flag, Should We Get Rid of It?" by J.J. Johnson. This is a black man, as I understand it. He calls himself a proud black American. And, we have another caller who's calling in on the line. We want to go ahead, we'll come right back to this story in a second. We want to go ahead and take our phone call here on Christian Worldview. Welcome to the show. Who am I speaking with?
Good morning. This is Edward.
Good morning, Edward. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. Didn't have a chance to call yesterday. I just wanted to thank you for your comments on the school choice proposal that's out there. And kind of echo some of the same concerns that you seem to have on it. And one thing that concerns me as a homeschooling father is that the legislators that are proposing this bill have basically said that there are going to be some governmental oversight of where these funds are going, which means they're going to be sticking their nose in the private schools and the homeschools. It's not going to be there's going to be some requirements that you're going to have to meet to qualify. And I would just encourage people who administrators of private schools and homeschool families to really consider. You know, and Daniel, we're told about the children of God not eating from the king's table, and I think we need to be careful not to do that, because there are going to be strings attached to this.
So even if they offer you lots of money, like $1,000 or $2,000 in tax credits, we don't want to eat at the table to get those strings, because those strings are attached to the food, and all the way it goes down to our gut, it'll eventually get wrenched up along with all our intestines and other vital organs, and we'll be spewing out blood and destroying, in a very graphic way, our families. I think that's your point, Edward, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know the thing that is going to happen is with government government's been a dismal failure in education, and you know it's almost laughable that the institution that's been a failure is the very institution that wants to, I guess, accredit homeschool and private school. You know, they want the failure to be the measure for how these schools are run. And they've done a miserable job. Private schools and homeschools are doing an excellent job. Why should we allow them to come in and tell us how to run our schools when they've been a dismal failure?
Well, here's an interesting point. In Bruce Short's book, The Harsh Truth About Public Schools, he cites R.J. Rushdoony, and he says this. Rushdoony says this: all too many churchmen view the undisciplined and amoral products of statist education as evidences of the failures of these schools. On the contrary, they are evidences of their success. And so, although from a point of view, like our point of view, we might consider them a failure because people come out of there deranged, without correct social skills or backwards moral attitudes, or just depraved moral attitudes, we can see that from the left's point of view, it's been marvelously successful. They've turned people into little statists. They've turned them away from the faith. They've let them believe in Marxism and environmental policies, alternative lifestyles. They've been successful, and it's because of their success that they want to regulate us homeschoolers or us or those folks who send their kids to private schools. So we can look at it as a success story in many ways. It just depends from the perspective you're going after it.
Well, I just think we need to be very careful not to jeopardize what we've done just for getting a little bit of the money back that's been stolen from us. I think we need to just write it off as stolen and not eat from that table.
I'm with you 100%. Great comment. I really appreciate that very much.
Okay. Well, y'all have a good day. I appreciate the show and all you're doing.
Okay. Thanks so much for calling, Edward. We'll talk to you again soon.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Well, it is truly a great comment from Edward. We have to take a stand against this public school, folks. It's not our friend. It's not benign. It's not innocuous. It is a malignant, cancerous barnacle that's hard to pry off. You know, it was so interesting the other day. Louis Vaughn, the representative there, is and in the South here, they would say bless his heart before they make another statement that might be sounded as somewhat critical. But someone stood up and said, "Well, look, how can we prevent these regulations from encroaching?" And he said. Look, don't worry about it. As long as I'm in the state house, I'm never going to let you be regulated or taxed beyond what you should be. And well, I'm going to protect you. Don't worry. I'm there for you. And my remark to him was, I do not trust you or any other member of a political actor in the government today. And he said, you don't trust me? I said, no, sir, I do not trust you. Don't take it personal, but you are a government actor, a politician, and there's no way that I want to trust you with preserving and ensuring my liberty, because the history of states is quite the opposite. States remove liberty from people, they ring about tyranny, they destroy property, and they harm people's rights. And so We want to be very careful not to trust the state or even the so-called conservatives that are in the state house right now to protect liberties. It's just not going to happen. At any rate, wanted to get back to this story and appreciate that phone call, Edward. Excellent comments, and appreciate the conversation we've had again today about the government school hot topic this week, as it often is. J.J. Johnson writes, okay, so what's wrong with me? In celebration of slain civil rights leader Martin Luther King's Day, he calls it King's Week. If I watch enough news, I should be out there with my black brethren yelling, screaming, and looking to burn every free-waving Southern cross I run across. So what's wrong? Shouldn't I be offended as well? In a way, yes, I am, and here's why. I had ancestors who fought on both sides of that war, which was anything but civil. Surprised? Yes, in northern Mississippi, in fact. Cousin against cousin, one man trying to protect what was his, and one who escaped slavery only to be drafted into taking his cousin's land away. This little fact, along with all the arguments about Southern heritage, Southern pride, and remembering the gentleman who died in war, I suppose, gets lost in all the noise about why it's so insensitive. And I am just fed up with it. More than that, I'm fed up with the yellow-bellied white guys who don't have the guts to fight back on the issue. It's not me. I'm willing. I'm not a yellow-bellied white guy. Not here at the Tyranny Response Network. In fact, I don't think any of our staff are, by the way. But appreciate the point that there are yellow-bellied white guys. We need to have a shirt test. We need to go and lift up some shirts and see how yellow-bellied they really are. And then have a little lecture about Southern heritage, perhaps. Anyway, I know no one wants to get labeled the R word. To politicians, it's a label that's worse than being called a liar, an adulterer, or a draft dodger. And heaven knows, you white guys in the public sector better not even bring it up at work or in public. There's a civil rights lawsuit with your name on it, yes, yet I know many of you, especially you folks, south of the Mason-Dixon line, how you must feel right now. Want to fight back? Hold on for a minute. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here on the Tyranny Response Network, and we're going to continue perhaps talking a little bit more about this Confederate flag issue by this black man, J.J. Johnson. We'll be right back.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
In Common Sense, Thomas Paine writes, could we take off the dark covering of antiquity pertaining to the origin of kings and of the state and trace them to their first rise, we should find the first of them nothing better than the principal ruffian of some restless gang, whose savage manners or preeminence subtly obtained him the title of chief among plunderers, and who by increasing in power and extending his depredations overawed the quiet and defenseless to purchase their safety by frequent contributions.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
you know, we've been reading this business about the Confederate flag. Should we get rid of it? By a black, what he calls himself, a proud black American, J.J. Johnson. Just a couple other comments here that he makes. He says, the worst riot in American history was not in Los Angeles. It was in New York back in 1863. You see, there were a bunch of people who, like during Vietnam, didn't want to be conscripted, that is, drafted, to serve in an unjust war. Talk to your president about that. Over 1,200 people died in 2 days, most when President Lincoln sent in federal troops to put down the so-called rebellion. Oh, by the way, 83 blacks were lynched in those 2 days, right there in the Big Apple. So which flag do you really want taken down? But I'll tell you which flag we want taken down. It's not that we have anything against Old Glory on its face, but what it represents we don't like because it's come to represent the Lincolnites. And the Confederate battle flag, I do happen to like the red and the cross blue bars much better than the other, and so do all of us here at the Tyranny Response Network. Fans of the South we are indeed. And remember, I am from the true South. You can tell by my accent, from Southern California, where true Southerners have now migrated. If they haven't gone to Brazil or elsewhere, many true Southerners have gone to Southern California, and I've unfortunately found that there is a lot more understanding about Southern history, about what really transpired during the War of Northern Aggression or the War Between the States among many in Southern California than even here in the heart of the South, South Carolina. So appreciate reading about this. Also want to mention, just remark a bit on one comment he made, and that is that he had ancestors who fought on both sides of that war. How many people know that blacks fought on the side of the South? One of the most surprising things that the people of Pennsylvania saw coming up with Lee's army was an entire legion or regiment or whatever it was of black soldiers armed, not rebelling against their masters, but fighting side by side against them, against the invading army of the North, the aggressors from the North. And when they marched into Pennsylvania to Gettysburg, the Northerners could see it right there in front of them. Black people were often free and wealthy in the South. Even we don't even know about that, but in fact, blacks were some of the wealthiest men in America in 1850, and especially in the state of Mississippi. There were many free Negroes, they call them free men of color, or free citizens of color, persons of color, and they lived in all over the South. Many of them even owned other blacks as slaves. The percentage of slaves owned by blacks was 28%, whereas the percentage of whites who owned slaves was only 4.8%. How many people know these little known facts of history, yet they've been trying to be washed away by those who want to rewrite history and can convince you otherwise? But folks, here at the Tyranny Response Network, we are committed to dispelling ignorance, to promoting the truth, and helping you think better. And how can you think better if you've been indoctrinated and filled with a bunch of garbage by the mainstream media? So anyway, keep listening to TRN all day. We have great recorded broadcasts with other folks who will teach you how to think and what to think about in a correct manner. And on this show, Christian Worldview, you have an opportunity to interact with those who love the truth, who love liberty, who support Christian values and the values of the Founding Fathers. Before I forget, once again, the weather outside, 28 degrees currently. We're going to go, it's chilly, folks. You want to get a coat on if you're still on your way out the door to go to work. It's going to rise up to 50 degrees today here in Greenville, South Carolina. We also want to encourage you to encourage other people to listen to us on the webcast. If you go to our homepage, policyofliberty.net, you'll be able to scroll down and not very far down, find a link that says live. If you press on that link that says live, any computer that you have, whether it be in home or office that has a sound card with speakers, will then pop up a media player or whatever it is that you use to play sound files, and you'll be able to hear our broadcast here on Christian Worldview live every day Eastern Time, 7:39. If you're not listening between 7:39 in the morning Eastern Time weekdays, you're listening to a recorded broadcast, and as usual, we're delighted that you're doing so. But obviously, the phone lines will not be working if you're listening during those hours. You'll need to send your questions and comments only by email, and that address, once again, is questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. One thing I wanted to also remind Juliet to do when she had called earlier, and I hadn't, so if you're still listening, Juliet, take notice. At the bottom of policyofliberty.net, there is a link at the very bottom. If you scroll all the way down, there's a link that says Deep Questions for Dr. Coben's Radio Show. You need to click on that link, and it will pop up a 3-page document that contains 18 deep questions about the Christian's relationship to the state, the nature of the state, when it's okay to rebel, what about slavery or different kinds of slavery, what does the Bible teach about them, should we revolt against slavery laws, and many other issues that are pertinent to the Christian faith that we brought up earlier. Juliet and others, I would encourage you to go ahead and read that document, read those deep questions, and help yourself think better as a Christian, as an American, as one who loves liberty. Read through those questions and try to answer them. And if you can, cite one of those questions and send us a comment by email, a question or comment by email regarding the 18 deep questions for Dr. Coben's radio show. Whenever we get a chance, and we're free to on the show, we try to read those questions and answer them here online. But if you get a chance, Juliet and others, please go ahead and give a look at those particular questions. We're coming up to a quick break, and it looks like we have somebody calling. If you just hold on the line here for just a minute, we'll get back to you as soon as we get back from the break. We're going to take an early break here, and we'll be right back on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
The law of non-contradiction. The same thing cannot at the same time both belong and not belong to the same object and in the same respect. Aristotle.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And that's exactly what we did at the PPIC debate on Monday at Americans for Constitutional Government. We hurled liberalism with great force, splashed it, splattered it all over the wall. And here to talk about that, Nick was in the audience at the PPIC meeting and has just called the show to have a comment about that meeting and what went on. Welcome to the show, Nick.
Thanks. How are you doing today?
Good. How about you? I hope everything is well.
Oh, yeah. It's a great looking day today. Well, a couple of things that I noticed at the meeting the other day was that when the liberals kind of, I don't know if we could call them liberals exactly, but at any rate, the opposition, the ones that really want to put this plan in place, seemed like they had a lot of empathy towards the poor, let's say. But the problem is that when you start saying, well, you know, we want to help the poor, they're giving scriptures, for instance, to support their position, but the problem is that they're using scriptures incorrectly for one thing, you know.
You're speaking about that guy, that fellow, the African-American gentleman preacher who got up and talked about the blight of the poor, the plight of the poor, and how we needed to alleviate it by giving them this a few hundred dollar credit.
Yeah, okay. Well, that, and there was the other lady, Idell, I think was her name.
Yes.
And the trouble is that, you know, everyone wants to help the poor. I mean, I don't think that's a, well, the problem is that's part of the politically correct movement, you know, is to kind of take that and twist it so that in order to help the poor, you got to give them everything. And
through the government. And the problem is not that we don't want to help the poor, but that the issue is whether or not the government programs actually help poor people or even should be in place. Yeah, go ahead.
That's the thing. And the thing is that, you know, everyone wants to help the poor, like I say, and that becomes a issue that then the politically correct people can use in order to work on your compassion. And so this Idell, this other black lady, was her name Marcia?
Oh, I've forgotten her name. I thought it was Mary, but it may have been.
Okay. You know,
she was the pastor, right? The pastor of the church?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
See, the good thing is that they started their own program, actually. And, you know, what they're really trying to do is expand their program, but with the aid of government help. But the problem is if they do that kind of thing, then all of a sudden they have to take the strings that go right along with it. And my feeling was that as soon as you start accepting government money, well, that's just their foot in the door to where, you know, you have to accept the thing that goes along with taking that government money.
Yeah, as long as the fish is on the line, it's pretty easy to stab him with something else while he's dangling there, isn't it?
Yeah.
So once one string gets attached and we've got the hook in our mouths, boy, it's going to be easy for them to thrust us through with darts and all sorts of other things that just gore us to death. And that's their goal. They have not been able to beat us in court. The homeschool mothers have done a tremendous job in opposing these lefties and socialists and others that come after us in homeschooling. So they figure, well, let's get us with a little string first. We'll begin to attach greater strings as time goes on. That's their agenda, and that's your point. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and that's the major thing that I have against it, because I have never seen a government program yet that has been gotten rid of in the first place, you know. But that doesn't also tend to grow and grow and grow and grow, and they have more regulations and more strings attached, you know, and require more money.
I think, wasn't it Milton Friedman who said there's nothing more permanent than a temporary government program? Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, and was it someone quoted, I think it was George Bernard Shaw that said something about nothing will get rid of private Christian schools faster than giving them a government grant or something of that nature.
Yes, yes, very true.
And so, you know, it just goes to show you the intent of government and those type of people that are running it, let's say. And, you know, I'm not saying that all people running the government are like that. I think that Mr. Vaughn, Louis Vaughn was there, and I think, you know, he tends to make some arguments for this thing, and you know, it appears as though his intentions are good and so forth, but again, what his feeling was that you have to start someplace or another, so you start with compromise.
And pragmatism. Got to mix them both together, get a good mixture.
Yeah, and the thing is that, you know, as soon as you start with compromise, well, all of a sudden, I mean, right off the bat, you're starting with a flawed problem, and then to try to fix the problem again, then you have to do that much more in order to fix a problem that you started with initially, you know. And so, I don't know, I just have some real reservations about starting with problems right off the bat.
Now, before you went to the meeting, did you have an opinion?
The problem is it seems like, you know, government makes long-term problems out of their short-sightedness.
Nick, before you went to the meeting, were you in favor of PPIC, or did you have an opinion about PPIC?
You're kind of breaking.
I'm sorry. Before you attended the meeting, oh, I think your cell phone just cut out, Nick. I was just going to ask Nick, before he attended the meeting, was he in favor of PPIC or not? I'll tell you what, Nick, if you're listening to the broadcast, we're just coming up to the end of the show. If you'd like to talk about this some more, do call back again. We're probably not going to be able to take another call since we've just got two, or it looks like 1.5 minutes left in the broadcast today. We'd like to just remind you all to visit policyofliberty.net. Take a look at the articles that are listed under the articles and papers link, and you'll find there my recent columns, or actually all my columns, for the Times Examiner. The last two have to do with this PPIC bill and why we don't want anything to do with PPIC. So go ahead and go ahead and take a look at that and have a glance at the theory and practice about why. Oh, okay. Somehow Nick's come back on the line again. Thanks, Nick, for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's okay. Somehow you dropped out.
Okay. Go ahead. We got like 1 minute left, Nick, so we need to hurry up and finish your call. I was just asking you, before you went to the meeting, were you in favor of PPIC, or was it something you learned about when you were there?
Well, before I got there, I really didn't know a whole lot about it, but it sounded good, you know, from the name of the bill, you know. And that's kind of another problem that I see, is that when these bills are named, they always sound good.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. Liberals do that. I mean, it's a candy coating on their cow pie. I mean, they want you to take a big bite of it, but they want the first millimeter to taste good, so they sugarcoat it with stuff. That's just the way liberals work.
That's what I'm saying. It seems like, you know, when you look at the names of some of these things, you know, everything sounds great, you know, and then as soon as you start looking a little bit further into it, you see that the actual bill starts containing everything totally opposite to what you think it is supposed to be doing.
All right. Well, I appreciate the phone call, Nick. It's a great comment. I couldn't agree more. We've come to the end of Christian Worldview. Please do call back at another time. Love to talk to you about this some more, Nick. And we hope to hear you again soon, or hope to see all of you again tomorrow morning for another edition of Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Let's consider Christian stewardship in terms of financial planning. Saving, eliminating debt, lessening the burdens that can accompany a serious illness or accident. One of the most important reasons that we acquire life, disability, and long-term care insurance is because we want to love our neighbors as ourselves. After all, what kind of testimony do we give if we actually plan to rely on the charity of others? If we love others, especially our church and family members, we should do careful financial planning. Some Christians have 401k plans that need to be rolled over into a better investment alternative. Still others need to protect their wives and children by purchasing some inexpensive life or health insurance. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service. As an independent financial planning firm with a wide range of products, we're here to help you become a better financial steward. Find out about our many services at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.